By the way, I'm not a fan of those restaurants that only give the price to the person that is paying. Man, I want everybody to be aware of what this is. Like, get what you want, but you know.
Yeah. I don't get that. Thought.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I'm Dan Levitar. That's Bomani Jones. Did you hear him? If you go out to dinner with him, let's go. Get your things in order. That's Dominique Foxworth.
I said, get what you want, but give us some thought.
Does LeBron's fourth title make you view him differently?
He was the best basketball player I had ever seen before any of this started, and he remains the best basketball player I have ever seen. He does all the same things that Michael Jordan does and does it 60 pounds heavier than Michael Jordan was. At 35 years old, he's still caving in the Miami defense, and Jimmy Butler, who had the best bubble of anybody, is a remnant in his wake as he has yet another game, never getting injured, dominating our sports landscape across a decade, earning the title as America's greatest athlete, period, because he is so good at basketball. I can't believe at 35, he's done this across the entire decade, guys, for three different teams where he gets there and he makes them matter. And the only time that one of his teams wasn't this kind of relevant is when he hurt his groin for 16 games last season. Otherwise, he would have been in the playoffs making it matter again there too.
Well, he is incredible. He is the best player of his generation, but he's done so much at this point that there's only been so much of a marginal change that's going to come because LeBron won one more championship, or LeBron got one more MVP, or because LeBron got an assist title. Like, we're just not going to be able to add but so much more to what is already stacked up over there. That's like, did we start thinking of Kareem Abdul-Jabbar differently because he won the finals MVP when he was 38? No, he was already Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. These things he's doing now more so affirm than they prove anything. But what they absolutely affirm is a rarefied air. He is the greatest basketball player that was not a center and not Michael Jordan. That is impressive. That is incredible to be. But he ain't Michael Jordan, right? Like, I hate that I keep getting put in these situations where you wind up having to say that, but Dan had to go on the whole best basketball player we've ever seen thing. Last Dance just a couple months ago, man. Like, I came away from the Last Dance like, wow. LeBron is so cold, and he still isn't this dude. But what he is right now is four-time champion who brought the Lakers back to where they had been previously, and that is a hell of a feat.
Man, so I had a whole bunch of things to say that I thought was important, but I'd rather just engage in the Jordan versus LeBron debate. Let's do this press content, baby. So, Bo, what does he have to do? Is there any way possible that he can ever surpass, if he gets to six titles and six MVPs, will he possibly surpass Jordan there? Or are you steadfast in your opinion that nobody can ever pass Jordan?
This isn't about proving anymore. It's not even so much that nobody can pass Jordan. It is entirely possible that somebody might emerge who can pass Jordan. But the fact that LeBron isn't that guy makes me think, okay, maybe nobody's ever going to be able to do it. This ain't no shade to LeBron. It's just that the body of work that we've seen from Mike and the body of work that we've seen from LeBron, like, we've already got a body set up here. I'm going with the other dude.
I can't believe that that's where we ended up today. LeBron versus MJ.
You when did it, though.
It's been
you
unfair.
Did it. You
no, but
did
it's
it.
Been no, you couldn't let it slide. It's not I did it. You couldn't let it slide. You had to get in there with a disagreement instead of the topic of the moment, which was last night. We're talking about a guy who has reinvented player empowerment across a decade. He's been in the finals every damn year. Michael wasn't. You're rewarding Michael for all sorts of failures of not getting to the finals.
The only real failure for Michael Jordan in the run that we're discussing of not getting to the finals came because he wasn't playing basketball anymore. Like, yeah, LeBron gets the props for figuring out how to keep getting back and how to be so good. Like, I don't want to take anything from him. I actually think his run of going to the finals all the time is more comparable to Magic Johnson than it is to Michael Jordan, because one thing we don't do to Magic that we do to LeBron is we knock LeBron for the weak East. We don't knock Magic for the weak West that he went through nine times in 12 years when the Lakers kept going over and over and over again, right? So good for LeBron that they managed to make it there. But those six out of eight that Mike had was really like six out of six. There's not this giant chasm between the two dudes. But
we
once Dan gets up
hairs.
And says he's
we
the best basketball
the
player that we've
won
ever
the championship,
seen.
And we are splitting
and, right,
hairs.
And you had to get locked up by the moment. You right here. You moment putting you in the car. Just throwing your head down right there.
He
you act like LeBron was out there by
night.
His damn
How many
self.
Championships did Michael Jordan win last night? How many?
I'm so disappointed
Sorry,
in
bad,
us.
My bad. You're right. You are the best basketball player that we have ever seen if you won a championship last night. That is the final boss that you got to beat in order to get there.
Quinn
you
Cook.
Won a championship last night.
Quinn Cook. He's a champ.
Bomani's calling in some reinforcements here. He doesn't like that it's 2-on-1, so he's getting a ringer here. Listen to this guy. He's got to be broken. Is he still wearing those ridiculous $299 sunglasses?
I would like to start by congratulating LeBron. Hey, LeBron, congratulations in being 4-6 in the finals. You bumped. The only reason he didn't choke was because there were no fans there. Danny Green, still a choker. Markieff Morris, still a choker. Hey, Markieff, if you disagree, you should come to Miami and fight my son. Do you want to hear my top three for finals MVPs? Number one, Jimmy Butler. Number two, Duncan Robinson. Number three, Rajon Rondo. The only reason the Lakers won was because Dion Waiters brought Heat culture. This is the start of the Heat dynasty. Anthony Davis signing with the Heat in a few weeks. Greek Freak signing with the Heat next year. Kawhi signing with the Heat next year. Paul George, no thanks. DeRon, KD, Steph. Signing with the Heat in 2 years. The Miami Heat 2021 through 2030. NBA champions. Papi has spoken.
How does Steph Curry go be in 2030? I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Do you see Dak Prescott playing another game with the Cowboys?
All right, so help me out here, guys. There aren't that many injuries where you're texting your friends or you're around the television and you're cringing because you see a body part in a way come out gruesome in a way that we all understand superhuman. And then you add to that, Dak spent this entire pandemic summer being talked about, do you give him the major dollars or do you not give him the major dollars? To have what feels like a career-threatening, if not career-ending injury, even with the advances in modern science, I think what we've seen from Gordon Hayward, for example, and Alex Smith, is you can't expect him to get back to where he was with that kind of injury, which would, of course, one would imagine cost him a lot of money. Dominic, if he were crying, if that's the reason he was crying when he was leaving the field because he just saw his career flash in front of his eyes and he was sad, I would understand it.
Yeah, I mean, that's all the reason to cry. I was watching that game feeling a little emotional myself because you can see someone who's committed to something. I don't think it was about the money, but that's a good reason to cry too. It seemed like just because he was having his kind of dream taken away from him in that moment, that's painful. I'm not as concerned about him returning to full strength or close to it, because the Alex Smith example that we point to is different. They had slightly different injuries, but the real major problem for Alex Smith was infections that led to 17 surgeries. So as long as they keep Dak Prescott's wound clean, then I think he's going to be all right. And I'm not sure that he's going to lose that much money. If I remember correctly, he had insurance on if he had injuries that debilitated his career to some degree, he would get paid for that. But even if he doesn't, I'm pretty sure the Cowboys are going to franchise him next year to see what he has, because that's the best thing to do. If he plays well, then he'll be a free agent if he wants to be and get one of the biggest deals that we've ever seen in the history of the league. So I don't think that the money's going to be a concern for a Dak Prescott, but I do think that no matter what, losing a season in your prime is something that football players don't get back, and it's something that hurts.
I am not a doctor. I have no idea if this is going to have career-threatening ramifications, because you talk about Gordon Hayward. Don't forget this. Paul George suffered a super gruesome leg break, and we don't even remember that that happened. He was able to play at the end of that season, right? Like, let's wait to find out. The way an injury looks is not necessarily linearly related to how much the damage is that's actually done to the dude's body. Now, the question on whether he's going to get his money from the Cowboys or anybody else is, what are they going to look like with Andy Dalton out there? Because to me, there is no better advertisement for Dak Prescott than playing like 11 games with Andy Dalton. Like, I feel like if you go out there and you see Andy Dalton playing with this team week after week after week and you don't want to bring me back, then I guess this thing is just supposed to be over. If the Cowboys come out here and it is clear that they are missing their quarterback, there aren't enough good ones out there for them to just say, we're just go find another one. I think Dominique's right. They probably wind up franchise tagging him one more time. But if they do that and he plays halfway decently that next year, that price tag is so high on that franchise tag, even if the Cowboys don't pay him, somebody else is going to have to. So I think he will ultimately be fine, assuming that the break can be taken care of. But none of us have an answer for that.
It's funny to think of the Andy Dalton situation. Obviously, it's terrible for Dak, and we all feel for him. But this whole time, they've been kind of pitching like everything around you is making you so much better. We used to have this great offensive line, this great running game. Now we give you these great receivers. Everything around you is what makes you special. Now we're going to find out. if any of that is really true or not. So as much as Dak, I'm sure, hates being injured, by the end of this season, Dak will be able to definitively say, I am a difference maker.
Yeah, let me tell you this, by the way. One way or another, Andy Dalton will go parlay this into a fortune. He doesn't even have to play that well to all of a sudden get himself a starting job again. Yeah. And I can't put it past Jerry, keep it real, to not give him that starting job. Like, I don't think he's going to be good enough in order to make that happen. But we done seen this movie before. You, Andy Dalton, can resurrect your career right now. Just complete, like, half your passes.
Coming up next on my Soul's TV show.
I can take this long view on this, though. Tell them why I can take this long view now, Dominique. You know why I can do this.
You're off this narcotic.
I'm
off that narcotic.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
National Voter Registration Day is September 22nd. For more information, visit IamAVoter.com.
Highly Questionable is presented by Samuel Adams. From Boston with love. Savor the flavor responsibly. Part of Happy Hour. Will firing Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff prevent the Falcons from falconing as much in the future?
All right, this is the Bomani Jones account, but I just want to marvel at the fact that this was a precipitous decline, even by Falcon standards. It was not that long ago. Dan Quinn was up 28-3 in a Super Bowl, and if you win that Super Bowl, you guarantee yourself at least a few years, and it has been an apocalyptic collapse ever since Kyle Shanahan has left there. I can't believe, though, that I live in an NFL world where those guys have been fired, but Adam Gase hasn't been.
Yeah, I think that they won't stop falconing because it's not called quinning. It's called falconing. It's something that the Falcons do. But I do have to appreciate how the NFL is kind of trying to sneak their black coach numbers up through the back door. Like, you get rid of Bill O'Brien, you replace him with a black guy.
Yeah,
you get rid of Dan Quinn, sneak in Raheem Morris. We're getting these numbers up. I like this reverse sneak in back door. Why we got to sneak in through the black door?
Raheem.
That's symbolic. I don't like
that. Call it the black door? Did you call it the black door? Like the one they used to make, they tried to make Lita Horne come in before she had to go sing on stage? That back door? Is that the one that you are talking about here? And by the way, this is the second time Romeo Crennel has gotten the interim gig in that way. He parlayed into a head coaching job the last time, and guess what? Bad decision by the Chiefs. Now, as it relates to the Falcons, I mean, they're going to be who they are, right? Like, some things just course through your veins. You know, it's not going to change because the head coach has changed. And I wish the best for Raheem Morris. When you consider the fact it's been, what, 10 years since he had his gig in Tampa and has not been able to. The dude tried to be an offensive assistant to try to get a faster track and then had to be the Falcons' defensive coordinator because the defense was so bad. So for his sake, hopefully he can parlay this into something better. But would maybe the most falconing thing be to actually start winning some games? Look, man, I understand you guys are really big into Matt Ryan. You should be. They should retire his jersey. He is an important player in the history of the franchise. However, if y'all are sorry enough, you can get Trevor Lawrence, right? If you're sorry enough, you can get to the top of this draft and maybe get like a Justin Fields or something like that and maybe start making that transition into the future because you like Matt Ryan. But what you go win with Matt Ryan, given the overall state of the franchise at this point, to truly falcon would be like to go 7-9. If they mess around and win 1-15 this year, that might be the best Falcon season of all time if you really stop and think about it. I can take this long view on this, though. Tell them why I can take this long view now, Dominique. You know why I can do this.
You're off this narcotic.
I'm
off that narcotic. I'm out here trying to give y'all real world advice, right? Like, I imagine when you go to rehab, there's somebody that give you that real talk. I'm here to give y'all that real talk. Y'all need to be sorry as possible.
I love when you get out here and get all chest out about how you were able to quit the Falcons on the weekend when I saw you on Twitter when the Longhorns was playing.
Yeah, he can't quit the Longhorns. He can't quit the Longhorns.
They've brought me far more joy than the Falcons ever did. Where's the Falcons 2005? There is no Falcons 2005.
Not recently.
We had a Vince Young. I mean, we had a Vince Young with the Falcons. You remember what happened? He went to the Bing. You remember that? I remember that.
Should we all overreact to the Chiefs losing to the Raiders?
I saw on First Take the graphic today, are the Chiefs too dependent on Patrick Mahomes? To which my response is, yeah, and that's a wonderful thing for the Chiefs to be able to say. Every team in the league would want that guy as their quarterback, but not every team in the league would want what they do on rushing defense. I feared that could be the way that stopped Patrick Mahomes in a playoff game. A good defense with a good running game could slow down Patrick Mahomes by just keeping the ball away from him. They underachieve when they score 32 points. They look constipated yesterday, putting up 30, and we're wondering what secret do the Raiders have because they just slowed them down a little bit. Mahomes obviously is never going to be the problem there if he's healthy, but that rush defense can be a problem for Mahomes.
Yeah, but I felt like the big thing that did the Chiefs in that game was the Raiders got those big plays. Like, Josh Jacobs was, what, 23 carries to 77 yards? Like, it wasn't like he was just gashing them left and right, but they gave up big runs. They gave up big throws. And if they stopped, like, maybe one of those, then they got a better chance at winning that game. But this is where I might be inclined to take a couple nibbles of that crow. I was not wild about this idea of John Gruden going to the Raiders. I did not think that we should assume that a dude that hadn't won a playoff game since January of 2003 was really going to be the one to fix the situation. But if nothing else, the Raiders look exceedingly competent, right? Like, there's nothing to laugh at with that team. And this is the sort of game that they can win, which is not something that we've been able to say about them for the better part of the last 15 years. So I'm less inclined to look at what's wrong with the Chiefs than I am to give some credit to the Raiders for getting a big win that they had not been able to get for a very long time.
Yeah, I'm with you. Anybody who thinks that this is some sort of indictment or raises some legitimate questions about the Chiefs, I think is overreacting. Like, they've given us 13 wins in a row. They come back from insurmountable odds in playoff situations, and Patrick Mahomes is possibly the best quarterback we've ever seen. So let's chill out. They lost one game. This happens a few more times. Maybe we could have a conversation. But I'm with you. Let's give some credit to Mike Mayock, I think, for building that team, and John Gruden for coaching that team. They're doing quite well. And Henry Ruggs is really the difference maker. He has some big plays yesterday, but it's not even the big catches that he has. It's what he does to defenses and what he does to that defense in particular. He distorts it. That speed is so terrifying that it makes everything else on that offense look so much easier. And I think that anybody who can turn Carr into a deep ball thrower is a special person. So we look around this league for guys who we should consider for MVP. I know for that team right now, when I watch them play with Henry Ruggs, it's entirely different than when I watch them without him.
You guys saw the throw Mahomes made, 60 yards. Tyreek Hill, double coverage. It got called back. You guys saw. Like, you can make the argument that a football can't be thrown better than he threw it on that play. It didn't even count.
Do you question if Kyle Shanahan really pulled Jimmy G to protect him?
All right, so in the last 20 years of godforsaken Miami Dolphins football, before yesterday, they had scored more than 40 points four times, all of four times. Even the Jets are in the lowest half of the league. That's dead last with 12 times. So they scored a bunch, at least in part, because Jimmy G was awful. And Shanahan said at halftime it was to protect him because he's coming off of injury, not because he was benching him per se. So let's see if this is a semantics discussion or if these are interceptions that you would bench.
Woo! Got a punt?
Man, quarterbacks have gotten so accurate now. Those used to be throws all the time that gunslingers made in the 80s and 90s. But now look at him. We're benching him. We're benching him, and now we're protecting him.
Yo, here's the thing. Maybe he's hurt, maybe he's not. But either way it goes, he's Jimmy Garoppolo, and he's the ceiling on how far that team can go. And people need to be honest about this. And I've said this about the 49ers before, and it seems like hindsight, but come on, man, we got to be real about this. They had the number two pick in the 2017 draft. They traded down to number three and let the Bears take Mitchell Trubisky. They took Solomon Thomas. They passed on Deshaun Watson. They passed on Patrick Mahomes. They let Colin Kaepernick walk. They ultimately decided to trade assets and give money to Jimmy Garoppolo. And this is the guy they have. And this may be the thing that prevents them at some point from winning a Super Bowl. They made a big mistake on quarterback. Even if this dude is halfway decent, they could have had a star. And instead, they drafted a not-so-good defensive lineman.
Yeah, so those two throws, it's not fair to necessarily kind of sum up his career in that way. And I've read that apparently ankle sprains make you sail the ball. But we're not evaluating him based on those two throws. I do remember last year heading into the Super Bowl, several of us on this network and others were saying that Jimmy Garoppolo ain't that good. And then y'all all came screaming, he's so good. He's so much better. Where's all the apology notes? Where are all the Twitter campaigns to get y'all to apologize to us? Because we said he wasn't good. So tell me that you're sorry for telling me that he was.
Really? Wow. So you won, and I'm sorry for saying he's sorry.
Text right now.
Yes.
Tonight on ESPN, Chargers and Saints.
No Michael Thomas. He is out for punching a teammate in the face. That is usually not what you hear unless you're a teammate of Steve Smith's, who has, I think, two of those on his resume. Does he not? Regardless, here's Alvin Kamara. Very good skill position player, obviously, for Drew Brees. He is, you check down to him. Good things tend to happen. Breaks tackles, and now, oh, so my good. God. Yeah. Yeah. And snow angels for reasons that are hard to discern. Is that because they're the Packers? Dominique, are you intrigued?
Oh, combined us. I like that.
Yes, Bominique. I really did.
Yeah, I am intrigued because Alvin Kamara leads them in rushing attempts, rushing yards, receptions. And he's the guy they decided to wait to pay. I'm glad they paid him. I'm glad his efforts are paying off. But I'm really shocked that they benched Michael Thomas for a punch. I mean, normally, like, they reward football players for punching people in practice. Like, that's tough guy stuff. It's a different league from when I played it.
Wow, really? Okay. Yeah, that's whippersnappers are soft. That's
whippersnapper.
Yes. Bomani, are you intrigued? Or Bominique, as I like to call you.
Yeah, I was about to say, one, I think somebody's called me Bominique before without trying to combine it. They was just messing it up. Two, there must be something else going on there with Michael Thomas, because a punch is normally not going to be enough. And number three, let us take a moment to send a shout-out to Tyrod Taylor, the man who lost his job because when he was trying to play through broken ribs, the doctor accidentally punched her lung. And by the way, apparently, that's just the kind of thing that happens every now and then when you try to give somebody a shot. This game is absurd, man.
We're done here. If you want more of these two gentlemen, Dominique Foxworth, you can find him at The Undefeated. He's the smiling guy, and that's Bomani Jones over there. The Right Time with Bomani Jones.